Welcome to the first week of our new series for the season of Lent. We're calling it Believe and Receive. The name comes from Scripture when Jesus said, "All that you ask for in prayer, believe that you shall receive it, and it shall be yours." In this series, we're going to take a deep dive into the power of prayer. We'll look at how prayer can transform lives, bring unprecedented blessings, provide uncommon hope. And today I want to talk with you about pray with possibility. A friend of mine told me about a pretty bad scare she had recently. Her son was on a flight into Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. He was scheduled to arrive around 9 o'clock in the evening. Nothing unusual about the flight, just routine, a flight that her son would typically take for his work. But she was excited because they had planned to talk as soon as he landed. But he didn't call. The minutes ticked by. She started to grow concerned. More time passed. She became more and more worried, but pushed the fear down and just told herself that the plane was probably running late. My friend is a seasoned traveler, a frequent flyer, but years ago she was scheduled on Pan Am Flight 103. Which tragically crashed over Lockerbie, Scotland. At the last minute, she switched flights, and that close call never really left her, got down into her spirit. And today, like me, she is a nervous flyer. She has a great fear of flying. Well, suddenly, she received a news alert on her telephone. A jet had crashed into the Potomac River. There were no survivors. It was the same airport, and the same time as her son's flight. There were no details yet about the airline, where the plane was coming from, who was on board. A wave of fear washed over her. She went into a state of complete panic, feared the worst. I asked her what she did in those moments. She said she prayed, "God, please save my son. Please save my son." A simple, powerful, primal prayer from the heart, a prayer that any parent would offer in that moment. A few minutes later, the phone rang. Her son was on a different flight. In a time of crisis, it's second nature to pray. Instinct takes over. Our will to survive turns our hearts to the all-powerful God. I got to tell you, when I'm on a plane that encounters rough turbulence, my prayers go to a whole new level. I'm praying like never before. I believe it is deeply rooted in our human condition to look to a higher power when we're afraid. A few days before my father passed away from cancer, I overheard him in his room calling out, "Help me, God. God, please help me." He was in pain, I'm sure worried about what would come next. An atheist all his life, even my dad turned to God in the end when the fear took over. And I have to believe that was enough to save his soul because our God is so merciful. The problem is when we're not afraid, when we're going through the day-to-day, caught up in the hustle and bustle, working overtime, preoccupied with our to-do list, that's when it's easy to put prayer on the back burner. We become so focused in everything we have to do, things we need to get accomplished and done, meetings we need to attend, fires we have to put out, that it often doesn't even occur to us to turn to God for help in those ordinary moments. Prayer takes a back seat. We think, "Well, I'll pray when everything calms down. When dinner's on the table, the kids are in bed, then I'll pray." But of course, we're often too tired then, exhausted from the day. So we sort of give up and say, "Well, I'll pray when I have a few spare moments. Or when I get everything settled, in order, when I have my life under control, then I'll pray. I'll pray when I come to church on Sunday, if I make it." Why do we so often do this? I think it's because deep down, we're not exactly sure prayer works. Maybe you've asked God for something before, a promotion at work, healing from sickness, a child to come back to faith, and nothing happened. You may have thought, that's just God's will. I can't control it. No sense in spending a lot of time in prayer over it. God's going to do whatever God is going to do. He's in control, not me. Most I can do is offer up my suffering. There are times when all we can see in life is suffering. The reality of evil, of unimaginable loss, of pain and suffering, leave us wondering where God is. Jesus himself cried out to his Father on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But for him, that was just the beginning. He was quoting Scripture, a story in Scripture that began with misery and abandonment and prayers that went unanswered, but ended in victory, righteousness, and deliverance, a story that would be told over and over in every generation, declaring to a people yet unborn that our God does not turn away from our suffering, does not turn away from our pain, loss, and distress, but always hears and answers our prayers. God wants us to partner in prayer with him. I believe there are so many blessings just sitting on a shelf in heaven because we're too busy, too unbelieving, too afraid to ask. Scripture says God can accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, but we still have to ask. For just a moment, put yourself into the shoes of the devil. You know, the enemy of mankind, prince of darkness, destroyer of souls. If your sole aim in life was to destroy humanity, separate people from God, convince them to turn away from the Lord and his loving plan for their life, how would you do it? What do you think your most effective weapon would be? You might say, tempt people to do bad things. Lure an alcoholic into a bar. Fill people's minds with impure thoughts. Dangle money and power in front of greedy people. And you wouldn't be wrong. It happens every day. And it often works. But ultimately, I think the enemy's greatest and most dangerous weapon is convincing us prayer does not work. Prayer is what connects us to God. It is our lifeline and our source of strength. If the enemy can somehow convince us that it doesn't work, it's not real, if he can sever that connection, then he has the victory. He has won. But fortunately, Scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because with prayer, all things are possible. When we believe, we will receive. It's tempting to discount the power of prayer. It happens all the time. Jesus himself in the gospel story today was tempted with three powerful temptations tied to prayer. In the first, the devil knew that Jesus was hungry, hadn't eaten for 40 days, so he tempted him to settle for mediocrity. Seek the ordinary, turn a common stone into bread to feed himself. And you may wonder, why is that a temptation? Food is not bad, we all need it. But sometimes it can be a distraction. When the Israelites were wandering in the desert, everywhere they went, they worried about food and water, whether they would go hungry and thirsty. God was leading them through this incredible journey from slavery to freedom, from captivity to new life, from hopelessness to a fresh vision for their future, but all they could focus on were their stomachs. That's understandable. It's understandable. We all have basic needs, and it's good to pray for those needs as long as we do not lose sight of the incredible blessings that God wants to give us. God doesn't want us to pray just get by prayers, you know. Lord, help me to get by, get through this day, get these annoying coworkers off my back, get my bills paid, get me past this difficult situation. God wants us to tap into the full measure of the grace and help he has to offer. And so Jesus responded to the devil and said, no thanks. One does not live on bread alone. Once again, he was quoting scripture. The full verse says, "Not by bread alone does one live, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." God wants to elevate our ordinary prayers into bold prayers, prayers that demonstrate trust in the promises he made in his word, the promises that came forth from his mouth, prayers that show our faith in what he says about us in scripture, that we are, in fact, redeemed, healed, victorious, blessed, forgiven, loved, fearfully, wonderfully made, that there is an anointing in our lives, and that we have a special purpose to fulfill for God. God wants us to pray with possibility. When the devil tempted Jesus to jump off the roof of the temple, he was telling him to put God to the test, just like the Israelites did in the desert. They whined and moaned, argued with Moses, grumbled about everything that went wrong. That can be us. Sometimes what we call prayer ends up being a long list of complaints. God, my family's getting on my nerves. My kids are out of control. My spouse doesn't appreciate me. My job is boring. My back hurts. 500 channels on the TV, God, and nothing to watch. Can't you make something happen here? Instead, turn it around. Thank God in the trouble that he's on the throne working things out, turning every difficulty into a victory, every problem into an opportunity to give him thanks and praise for his mercy and kindness. When the devil tempted Jesus a third time to worship him in exchange for power and glory, the kind of power and glory that would not require Jesus to suffer and die on the cross, the devil was sure that Jesus would switch sides, change teams, transfer his loyalty. But of course, he didn't take the bait, and neither should we. You and I were made for worship. It's our first and most fundamental, most important purpose in life. And no one is deserving of praise and worship except God. So when we set our sights on lesser things, things that feed our ego, boost our popularity, bring us the glory, well, then we're not praying with possibility, we're praying with futility. Scripture says, "Open wide your mouth that I may fill it." Open wide your mouth. It seems that prayer is one time that it's good to have a big mouth. It's easy, though, to lower our expectations, ask God for common, ordinary things, pray get-by prayers, and forget that God wants to give us the best he has to offer. That's why Moses, in the first reading today, told the people that when they brought the first fruits of their harvest to the temple as a sacrifice, an offering, that they should say, "God brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey." Moses wanted the people to remember all the amazing miracles God had done for them, to say it out loud so they would not forget what he had done in the past and what he could still do for them and what he can still do for us today. Maybe you'll be the one with a great new idea that changes the world. Maybe you'll be the one who raises that child or grandchild to do amazing things, the one who brings peace in a time of war and conflict. Perhaps you're the first in your family to honor God, or you're the entrepreneur who will start a new charity, the teacher who will inspire young minds with faith, the parishioner who will launch an amazing new ministry here, or the person who is willing to step out in faith on a mission trip to help people who are in desperate circumstances across the globe. My prayer is that we will all pray with that kind of possibility. this Lent, ask God for what you really want. Say big, bold prayers. Tell him the deepest longings of your heart. Because when you have confidence in him, expect miracles, trust in his goodness, when you believe in his grace, his power, abundance, and all the promises that he made in Scripture, then Jesus says, you will receive what you ask in prayer in his name.